Blog Talk Radio.
Well, we're glad you're here. We're so glad you're here. Today is Wednesday, and we're here with the Hope Collection, and it's Wealth Wednesday. And we're looking forward to talking to everybody, and we're talking about tiny homes, attainable homes, the right size home for the right price in the right location, so it's just right for accepting and growing in abundance in your life. I had a little trouble last week, so if you were there and you got in and got set, I apologize for not being there, but we've got the studio up and running today. We're talking from the Hope Collection. We'll be talking about attainable homes. So I want to invite you to, if you're listening in, to be able to call in and ask us any questions that you might have. The guest call-in number is 714. Go ahead and grab a pencil and a pen, because you might have questions too later about how to connect with the Hope Collection or with me, and we'll... And I'm Barbara Riley, and I'm what they say here at the Hope Collection, the tiny house queen. And so we want to help you become whatever it is and have your own tiny home kingdom if it is what you would love. And we can help you figure that out. And so to call in and talk to us and find out a little bit more about tiny homes, communities, and just living abundantly in smaller spaces, we'd love to talk to you. So that area code is 714, then 816-4686. So I was talking to my friend Elise, and Elise and her husband are living tiny. They've created their own tiny village. They have a retreat, Manatee Landing Retreat, and it's in Wickiwachee, Florida. And Elise and I have been talking about how we can make this more fun and exciting for all of you, and all of you listening and wondering, you know, what would it take to start a community? What would it take to get into a tiny home? How do you, you know, say you want to invest or you'd like to invite people to be in your area? Elise and her fiance Elliot are living the tiny dream, and they're doing it, and they're in it every day. And what we've decided is we would like to talk about all the aspects of living in smaller spaces, and we've been calling them tiny or attainable. What we definitely want for them to be is resilient, sustainable, and attainable, which means that you can afford it. In Hawaii, an affordable home, the bottom price or the low price in Hawaii is $367,000. That might not be attainable here in Orlando, Florida. So what we want to do is help people get the right home, the right structure, the right size, at the right price, in the right place, so that they have hope for their future. And that's what we're talking about here today at the Hope Collection, and what I've been talking to Elise about. So Elise and Elliot would like to share, how did they go about finding the property where they found to put their tiny home community? In this case, there's two pieces of property. You know, how did they find that property? How was it zoned? How did they figure out how to pay for it? How did they start inviting people to come to their property, how they've been able to then now leverage that community to be able to go and buy other properties and create more communities. So we are going to begin next week with trying to do a bit of a series. And we'll interview Elise and Elliot. And then we'll talk about what is tiny house living like. And we're going to take the four big chunks, or five or three. We'll let you know exactly what they are. But the main things are, how do you get prepared for going tiny? What is it that you're looking for? And so, you know, what's your reason for going smaller and looking for an attainable home? Locating where you would want to live or where you need to live in proximity, what are some absolute requirements in your life? And then you make sure that you're allowed to have the right, you know, the perfect size home that you're looking for on that property, and we'll assist you with all that that takes. And then we can talk about what type of lending that might be available. Are there traditional mortgages? Are there just all the different ways we want to share with you? There are very creative ways. There are regular traditional standard, but I don't think that we're all feeling very traditional and standard. We love that because it's easy to glide and follow right along, you know, when it's already established. But we are creating things because the tiny home industry has kind of created its own little niche in the marketplace. So anyway, I got to a little rambling there. So I'm going to run back here and wish that my friend Juliana would give a call, or maybe Artis. Definitely would love to hear from Country Boy and all the Country Boy's fans and friends and super friends. It does say that we're on the air, so we're just going to assume and use this time to be here and to chitter chatter. So I don't see anybody here, but Lisa and I thought what we would like to do is to begin with, let's interview all the folks that are part of the Hope Collection and find out, you know, a little bit more about them, because we've got the greatest people in all the world that are friends of Joel and Artis and have been building this wonderful opportunity for everyone to be able to help others. And so we had talked about interviewing Country Boy and Ron Clayton and Gary Helfenstein and Bob Oakley. And I think we have Jack. I'm sorry, Jack, I don't know your last name. But Jack, we would love to interview you as well. And Juliana and RC. And, you know, just to talk about what was the Hope Collection? How in the world did we all get together? How did we get here? And why do we all love this so much for who we're being able to help? And it's you, whoever is listening. We're here. We want to be able to help you in whatever way that is going to serve you best. And one of those ways is providing housing. And not that we provide the house, but our pillar are, I've got to find out who might be here to join us. I see we have a caller. Who's with us?
Well, good afternoon. How is the attainable homes lady, queen, how is she today?
I'm doing very well. Thank you.
I have some great news to share with you.
What is
it? The beacon of light is still existent in the United States of America. There is hope. And the Lord is still in control, and he demonstrated that by the major miracles that occurred yesterday in exercises being an American, that the principles that our founding fathers decided will create the opportunity to pursue our dreams, like owning a home and having property and being able to prosper in our family generationally. And because of the actions of those miraculous, we now have the door reopened to start building a new generation of believers moving forward, and with God's help to accomplish what we're out to do, both in the Hope Collection and in our lives. And you're part of that mission and part of that army, Barb Riley. And I'm really excited because I've labeled it this way. In the city of Buffalo, we had an opportunity that the lights could have gone off in our city hall. And what I mean by that, we had an individual who was faithless, godless, American understanding of the law, who was actually a criminal arrested, and got and was swaggered away onto an election ballot and forced our mayor off the ballot. And in spite of that, you talk about miracles, Barb. Mayor Brown was reelected by more than 10,000 votes. Twice
yay!
As many as the person that tried to get him out. And I say this because she proclaimed and is a card-carrying member of the Socialist and Communist Party. Anti-God, anti-everything.
Yeah.
And she got swamped. She got jumped on. And Mayor Brown victoriously shared, and as I was with him a week ago Saturday night at a large church in the city of Buffalo, when he declared his love and serving the Lord, not just now and not just for the election, but has in his life and continues. And it was just an exciting event. But he really came through when the oh, by the way, in most cities what happens is there's a structure of most cases a two-party system, two groups of people that are opposing in philosophies in operation. And the one that's in power in Buffalo has been for 40 years is the Democratic Party, and they did not endorse our mayor, three-term mayor of our city. They endorsed the socialists. And so he was not only not on the ballot, but the entire workings and the behind-the-scenes organizations were pinned against him, and he not only beat him, he trounced him. And how it happened, people had to decide. They had to make a decision, Barb, to go into a voting booth, leave their home, go to a voting booth, go in and write the name down. Probably the first time in the last 100 years in the city of Buffalo anybody has actually signed a name to a ballot. Normally it's all printed. You don't have to do anything. You just draw a little black dot in the line. And so forth. This took an active, intentional decision and action, and he beat the person that he was – just the media, the powers, the structures were all deemed against him. And he came through victoriously last night, and it was a wonderful celebration.
Well,
I share that.
I am so glad.
Now, the ramification of that is we are working with the mayor and his staff, and we have a radio station here in Buffalo that's owned by a gal named Sheila Brown, not related to the mayor. But she's one of the few minority-owned business and radio stations in the country. She's a powerhouse, and she's about 5 foot tall, and she's mighty. And we're working with her, and now we are going to resurrect the Tailor-Made Village project through Jobonomics that you're so vitally involved with and in part of.
Oh,
and talking
so
with Schumer and Chuck Bowman this morning, we're going to be moving forward, and I just got a hold of the gentleman who's going to head up our administrative team, Dale Martin, and he's putting into motion because of his connections both in the mayor's office and radio station and the community. He'll be initiating the setting up appointments for us to get this done.
Setting up what to get this done?
We're going to have we'll call it a town meeting with the powers and the people, both are in the private sector mode and the political mode, that are going to come together to launch the Jobonomics program of Western New York, which entails Tailor-Made Village. And I see clearly the idea that we can have take the attainable homes program and provide taking these homes that are narrow and long, but we can take two of them, put them back to back, end to end, and we can have a whole community where there probably about there could be up to 600 units that will comprise of 300 homes, and we don't have to put in sewers, we don't have to put in gas lines, we don't have to put electric lines in, we don't have to put in the roads, we don't have to do any of the infrastructure that it takes when you start a new community. It's all there.
Yep.
And the lots are already from the county clerk's office, which is the they control the properties and the guy on border lines, and I got the blueprint of it in my office here at the house. And I've got a layout of every property that's there by number. They're all numbered. And we're going to convert those into a new community of homes, Hope Homes.
Perfect. And so from my last meeting with Jobonomics last week, I've been working on my homework to provide four or five different models of homes, so different sizes and different looks, so that we could then take a look at each of those lots that you have on there, and you're knowing the size and you're knowing, then you can decide that, okay, here's your one bedroom or your two bedrooms could be here. You know, you can, and people could pick out the mm-hmm. size home by the lot. And we can have investors for those or people that want to buy those, or, but we can start showing, you know, so you can have small micro homes and small homes and tiny homes and every size that fits on that piece of land so that it's a real community and everybody's, you know, that it looks like a community because there's some similarity by the outward appearance, but that there's different sizes and so it can hold more people.
Isn't that cool? And then we'll have a community center.
Yeah.
At this area. By the way, it lies between a major a road in the city of Buffalo. The one is Broadway. You know, you think of Broadway in any city, it's one of the major roads. And then
right.
That's east to west, and then north to south is Fillmore, and that's just as busy of a highway, road. And then William Street is another extremely busy. And by the way, William and Broadway both go extend out into past the suburbs out to the country, going east and west. So we have access for construction and pre-made modular type project, you know, to bring them in or build on site, either way. And we have the ability, and they're zoned, the property are zoned for this kind of structure. So we'll have this community, and then we're going to have a community center where there'll be offices for the people that, as the community, will run the community. And that,
mm-hmm.
that facility will have boarding things for the kids, the young adults and the young kids. There'll be, we'll probably look to move a boys club in it, or a girls club, boys and girls club into it.
Right.
I already have Great. Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts want to open up a troop in our community. So the kids are not going to have to go far to get grounded in after school activities that aren't going to get them in trouble. The unit can be
right.
used as it will have a kitchen in it, so that let's say a group wants to hold a fundraising dinner for some cause, or they want to have a spaghetti dinner, or they want to have a fundraiser or a wedding or some kind of reception, a family affair. They can do it right there, and that'll be all part
yep.
of the community.
And that can be a center where a HOPE representative could be able to connect with the people in the community and to provide some training and information and connection so that they can plug into as many of the resources with the HOPE collection, as many as they would want to connect with. And they can show them how to get the training, all the different opportunities for training and education and the ability to purchase items.
When
mm-hmm.
someone purchases one of these homes in our tailor-made village. By the way, tailor-made village is named after the American hero, Van Taylor, who was a protege of Bob Hope, putting on the shows around the world for our troops still to this day. A year ago, December, he was in Afghanistan, and they were playing on the stage with the special forces that were still there in the northern province. And they were dodging, they had to dodge bullets. They were on the stage, and they had to literally run off the stage because the bullets were flying. Now, this guy takes a team of trained musicians, and what they do is they not only perform music and entertain the troops, they literally go and meet with individually the the different troops. And what they have and they've been trained to do is recognize some of these men and women have been overseas for multiple tours of duty because they knew if they came home, they couldn't make what they were making and overseas. So they just renewed
right.
each time it came up every 2 or 3 years. So they hadn't been home in years, and they just keep renewing. But the problem is they didn't have a place to go. And sometimes that creates some real problems for our veterans that are so active. Well, Van's band, his members, are all trained to recognize different issues that people would have so that they could report to the COs saying, this individual, great guy, great gal, da-da-da-da-da, but they need some attention. So that we don't wait till they get home 3 months later to decide that they got to go to VA to discover they got an issue.
Right.
And so they're able to direct and automatically at that time also get people involved. It's called Sea of Goodwill. That was a white
yeah.
paper written by the administrator, Lieutenant Colonel David Sutherland. He wrote a white paper on what we need to do to help our troops when they come home and with a new mission. The Hope
yeah.
Collection was designated. We were designated as the number one model providing those missions to their families. Every single home that we will set up will come with two things. Number one, a membership, free membership in the Hope Collection, and open the doors, and that's where that person at the Hope Center, at the community center, will be located, like you mentioned.
Uh-huh.
Then we also will have every home comes with a home-based business of their choice. And one of those home-based businesses, we've vetted them so that they have support, training, education, support to help that family create an independent generational prosperity opportunity. We're going to break the cycle of poverty for families all across this country. We are truly a movement that is going to change lives. And we already are. We're doing it. So
yes,
when you
indeed.
Came aboard, Joel introduced you, we were so excited because of your involvement and expertise and the connections you have in the home building business and the home attaining business and the helping people get through. When people go to get a house, most people have no clue. They have no clue how to make it happen. And they don't want to go to their bank and admit because they don't want the bank to tell them, well, we can't help you. They don't know where to go to. There is nobody to go to. They can ask the pastor. The pastor can pray for them, but he can't do anything for them. But they can come to the Hope Collection and get real, sound advice on how to put a plan together, a goal-setting program, and how to put it together, and then be able to have that magic day when we have a celebration and a ribbon cutting. One other thing that happens with our homes, Barb, that I'm really proud to talk about, when we have that ribbon cutting of that family moving into their new home, we will present each of that family a Bible, a Gideon Bible, as the centerpiece of faith for them, not to put under the coffee table, to put on top of the coffee table, that they can read to realize they've got the greatest instructional book for living to available to their family.
That is awesome. That is awesome. And that is as the absolute best book, God's Word, to bring us hope. You know what, Ron? I think we've got somebody else on the call here. I see a caller from area code 678. You want to say hello? We'd love to have you.
Deborah?
Yes.
This is
Diana. Hi, Diana. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you.
We're glad to have you on here. Tell me what
Thank
you
me.
Like about tiny homes or what your interest is. I know you're looking at them. Tell us a little bit more about your tiny house adventure that you're on, even if somebody's making
what?
You be on it.
what is actually a sustainable home is what I want to know.
Sustainable would be... Go ahead.
Diana, perhaps I can explain that. I'm not sure. We might have met before, Diana, but if we haven't, my name is Ron Clayton. I'm the president of the board of the Hope Collection. I was the original president. And when Joel has gone on to be with the Lord, his wife, Artis, is running the organization, a 501c3 nonprofit. And I agreed to come back in and kind of pick up the mantle and run and help us go forward in the future, all based on the foundations of helping people like yourself. When we say attainable homes, most people don't have any clue on the process of getting any home, a home somebody lives in already, how to build one, they want that, where to go, what do you turn to? And so we provide those kinds of services through different organizations that affiliate with us, or we have people like Bob Riley that already has an expertise to help you, not a group of people, you accomplish what you'd like to do. And because of that, we have formulated some game plans. We've executed some game plans. And we're about to, we just got connected with a direct funding source that is already operating in 55 cities in the United States called Jobonomics. And this organization goes into underserved communities and provides not handouts, not checks, but the programs that allow people to create, and I use the word generational prosperity. We've been taught, and I got to admit, I got a little gray hair in some places I don't have any, my head. Most people have been taught to go get a job and have a single source of income. And what COVID proved is that that's not very secure for to rely on for supporting your family, this generation or the next. And so... Ron, real quick. Yes.
I just wanted to say Diana has been a business partner of Country Boys for a long time, and so they have been running in the same circles together, and Diana's been jumping on here and attending these calls, and she has sent me some tiny house images, and she has just been dabbling every which way around tiny homes and on here with us on Wednesday. So I just want to let you know that Diana's got a good long history with the Hope Collection.
Well, and then,
I do.
You admit to knowing Country Boy? You have to understand something. Country Boy and I
She's
go
one
back
of his
a
super
long
friends.
Way. I met Country Boy 8 years ago or so, and I met him on a call like this with a guy named Burl Wolf.
Right.
And he said, Burl Wolf invented this, the system we're using, blog radio. The man who invented this system, this broadcasting system,
right,
a genius.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever cut out a coupon in the Sunday paper or
magazine?
And there's a barcode on there. Mm-hmm. Now they're using their pictures. They're like graphic, goofy-looking things. And you just wave your phone over it, and it reads it. Well, that Bill Walk and his father invented that system. And they implemented it in the marketplace. First, it was just on the products. And then they went to all the companies, Procter & Gamble's and Campbell's Soup and whatever, and Pampers and all those companies, and said, why don't you use this barcode to introduce in couponing, advertising in the marketplace in print using the barcode that's the same as the barcode that's on the can. So when a lady or guy that collects coupons goes in the store, they just run the coupon through the reader in the store. They get the discount. Right. But what they didn't tell you is that every transaction is recorded. And I don't care what store you go to, if you're not just paying cash at your store, you're using a credit card, they know everything about what you buy for your home for the last 5 years.
Right. Uh-huh.
Now, you might not like that, but what it helps them to do is they know you like beef bouillon soup or turkey broth from Swanson's that you're going to use on Thanksgiving in your stuffing. They know that. So guess what they're going to do a week of Thanksgiving? They're going to put a sale, and you bring in the coupon, and you can get 50 cents off buying their product.
Right.
It's information. Well, the guy that invented this radio show that you and I are and Barb are talking through today was Bill Wolk. He introduced me to Country Boy.
Uh-huh.
And years later, although I'd never met him in person, I got connected with him through another mutual terrific friend, and his name is Rick Reese. And he and his wife, Brenda, Rick has become today, he is now, I can proclaim this, and I do, he's become my spiritual leader.
I believe it.
Because he runs an organization called Marketplace Ministries, and his faith is so strong and his commitment to serving is so great that I could partner with him as we go down the road together. And that's really how I met Country Boy. And I came, I flew from Buffalo, New York to Atlanta, Georgia. And I went down and I met him. I think it was the Omni or one of those big hotels downtown. And we got there, the guy, my partner up in Buffalo, and I, Gary, flew down together. We didn't have a hotel room. Now, all the hotels in downtown Atlanta were booked. So there was the City Mission is right down the street from the hotel. Now, mm-hmm. We didn't stay at the City Mission, but right across from the City Mission is a hotel that in that neighborhood, when we got to the room, they literally gave us the lock to put on the door. I mean a lock. There were bars on the window, and they said, please don't go walk in the streets at night. Now, didn't matter because that weekend we met Country Boy.
Uh-huh.
Meeting him and what his heart and what his life and his mission is all about, we joined forces that day, and today we're working like an army together, and we're becoming a fine-tuned machine to really lift and have, you know, the Bible always talks about the light and the house on the hill. Well, guys, gals, that's what we are today with the whole collection and the partnerships that we have working together. And we are about to launch the most incredible growth pattern in areas that have not – they've had a lot of people, a lot of politicians have talked a lot of stuff, but there's a difference. We have the tools, we have the system, and now we will be unveiling – the finances. And I'm not talking about theory. In fact, what I can say on this call very clearly that Jobonomics is the name of the program. It's not just an idea. It's not something that someday will. In fact, you know, there's a lot of people go around in life, they say, you sell them something, they go, yeah, 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 but. And yeah, 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 but. And they say it about everything you sell them. Well, if you stay a yeah butter long enough, you become an if Ida. If I'd have done that 10 years ago, if I'd have bought that stock, I'd be a millionaire today. If I'd have just done that, I'd be married and happy with 10 kids. It's if Ida, which means you were yeah butter. You said something was good but not good enough. Well, then if you become a yeah butter and then a if Ida, there's one more step. You can become someday aisle. And what someday aisle is not the grocery cart and I'll go down the aisle someday aisle. No, someday aisle is someday I'll do something, which means you're not doing nothing. And though we have a whole group of people that's standing on the sidelines, and they're yeah butters, if Idas, or someday aisle. But when you're with the Hope Collection, and you're with the team like Bob Briley and Country Boy and Rick Reese and other partners here, we get things done. And that's what I'm most proud to be lifted up to be the leader of this organization, moving it forward here in the next generation going forward. And we're all about creating, Diana, we're all about creating that residual generational prosperity. Doesn't that sound nice?
Residual generational prosperity.
I don't believe you'll hear people talking about getting jobs. You'll talk about people getting educated. And frankly, I do too. You need to do that because you got to start somewhere.
Right.
But if you're in a job, the one thing you can be guaranteed right now, and my 40-year mentor and best friend used to say, having a job is like having a firm grip on an empty bag. You don't own it. Most people would never give their job to their kid. They'd never do that. But if you own something that they helped you build as a family and you create equity, equity means you get something and today it's worth a dollar and a year from now it's worth $2 and maybe 5 years from now it's worth $30. And then by the time retirement comes along, it might be worth $3,000 for every dollar. Well, that's what you can do. Most people, I'm telling you flat out, I can make this observation. Most people within the confines of the city, of any city, don't have a clue about that because they've never been taught it. What they've been taught is to get a job. Got a job, 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 job. And then they get one. And kids today, kids aren't stupid. They're very smart. But they see their parents go to college, get education, get that paper, the sheepskin, get it on the wall. And they go to work for a corporation. The next thing they know, they're carrying the box out with their pictures off their desk and their trinkets that they collected along the way and some salesman left them and maybe a pen and pencil set and some notebook paper that they maybe something else in the letter opener they had in their desk and maybe a clock that they had so they brought in to put behind their desk on the etagere. Well, they'd see their parents that did all the things that they were told to do, and I'll use the words and they're not word, nice words, but they see their parents get screwed and they say, why should I bother doing that? But when a kid sees the mom and dad, if their mom is a single or dad if he's single, if a kid sees their parents own something that they care about and put passion behind and get involved in a team and they grow and suddenly they're going to Disney once a year or twice a year or they're going on a cruise or they're going to wherever they want to go. And instead of learning in a book about Europe, they go over there and they fly over there and they go on the Viking River cruise and they go down the river cruise. And every morning you get up and have a hot bowl of cream of wheat, or as they say in the South, grits. You know, we have the way to help people make that dream come true. And I loved what the gal who's the new Attorney General of the state of Virginia said last night. I didn't run for office to get elected. I ran for the American dream. I ran because I want to make sure that our generation, our kids, have the same opportunity to dream and achieve. She was, I'm telling you, she's, look, words came out of her mouth. We're so wonderful. We're so uplifting. And all I know is all the people that have been trying to tear America down and tear who we are and what we do together, got their thumbs in their mouth and their thumbs you know where else, and they're complaining and crying because they didn't win. Well, they shouldn't have won because what they sell is a pile of you know what. And what Americans sell is freedom. You know, there was a civil war fought over the idea that man was created equal and able to have equal opportunity to achieve. And the Hope Collection is so dedicated to extend that to every single individual that we can. Because the more we do that, the more people, the lights go on for more people. One less kid decides to go down to the end of the street or the next block to go get a drug and studies playing basketball in his community center that's been chaperoned right down the street from his house or her house. Or he belongs to a young audience is an organization that sponsors kids to come after school and learn directly from professionals in the music industry, arts, writing, all kinds of programs that are set up for the kids to learn from proven, successful people how they can take their skills and their passions and turn it into making their careers go forward. instead of running around looking for something to do and boys chasing after girls or girls chasing after boys. They're over there trying to learn something to make their life more fulfilling. To me, that's what the Hope Collection is all about. And I think you asked the question, and I ran off for 20 minutes. I apologize.
Well, and so we're here as that beacon of light, and we're talking about housing as one of the things that we can help people with. And one of the good questions that Diana asked is, what is sustainable? Because we've been talking attainable, sustainable, and resilient housing. So if you don't mind, Ron, I'll answer a question with a definition, but then I'll tell you what I think we really mean. Sustainable construction is the practice.
I'm out of breath.
Okay. Oh, good. Is the practice of creating a healthy environment that's based on ecological principles. The goal is to reduce the industry's impact on the environment by utilizing sustainable development practices, employing energy efficiency, and taking advantage of green technology. But, that might be the choice of materials that the home is being made out of, using bamboo that's a fast-growing wood, you know, and have more bamboo woods. But to have a structure that's resilient and sustainable is kind of the same thing, is that in one essence, is you want it to last, and the materials you may build it out of may be recycled, reused, reclaimed, certainly not for the framing part, but, you know, made out of materials that can continue to replenish themselves, so we don't just keep using up the earth's resources for everything. And so, you know, being efficient about the way that we design structures for energy efficiency and for the best use of, you know, and for human usage, and how the air, the internal air of smaller structures or the environmental, air, you know, as you're breathing oxygen in a home, the tighter the home is, the smaller the home, the more we need to be concerned about what is the safe oxygen exchange ratio going on, does the home breathe, and all of these things we take into consideration when we're talking tiny homes. What's really nice is that you could just say, hey, I like that one, put it here, or I'm going to drive over there and pick that one up, or build this thing in my backyard. And then, of course, as we help you to design that and take into consideration what's important to you. Do you have your grandma's old farm sink that you want, you know, to have as your kitchen sink? Well, you know, you can do that. Or, you know, did you get wood from a barn? You know, maybe that is your something special that you use and make something in the house. Or, you know, it's usually these sustainable reclaimed things are the exterior finishes, but the final finishes. They aren't what's holding everything all together a lot of times, but they are the final finishes that we're seeing. Anyway, did that help?
Okay.
And any thoughts like that?
Yeah, because I've heard, you know, your tiny home, and all of that. The last time when you were on the radio, you mentioned something about sustainable, you know, and I was trying to say, okay, what is the definition of sustainable homes, you know, compared to, you know, the other forms? And that's what I wanted to know. And so you answered my question.
Very good. And then now I can make the difference between a tiny home and some other structures. A lot of times the tiny home, especially one on wheels or a trailer, being that it's movable, it was being confused with a recreational vehicle. And recreational vehicles, although you can live inside of them, it's been determined that the way that they've been manufactured, they're only really suitable for seasonal or part-time dwellings. And because they aren't designed for, say, all the moisture of what your body would put out by being inside of there, your body, then from cooking and showering, and other things like that. So on a regular ongoing basis, year after year after year after year, a home has been constructed for full-time dwelling, whereas an RV mm-hmm. is not constructed for that. So
right.
It's less sustainable. Let's put it that way. We don't want to pick on mm-hmm. any particular mm-hmm. products, but it's not a home necessarily. It could be used. Home is where your heart is. We hear that all the time. So you could be in an RV and feel like it's home, but it's not constructed to serve you as a primary dwelling.
Mm, okay.
And then there's manufactured housing, and they're built to building code to meet the criteria for HUD for that geographic region of the area. And they're designed to be primary dwellings, so they meet building code, so they're safe. Sustainable, we hear a lot in the types of materials that are being chosen. You hear that with the, green technology a lot. And so there's lots of efficiencies that have been created as people have made their homes smaller also. And then they can spend more money because they get all the fancy stuff because
uh-huh.
They're not buying very much of it. So your price of your tiny home varies greatly. That's depending upon how
you
look.
You can put a hot tub on the second floor of your tiny home. That's pretty spicy.
Yes, you
I
could.
Think.
I'd say. And so, right, and here, Tiny is just a brand. Tiny is an adorable name. And so, yes, any home that's smaller than your average can be a tiny home. It's a small home. It could be a micro home, manufactured, modular, movable. Whatever it is, those are what we're talking about. And that's why I think we've all decided we like the term attainable, because no matter what it is, we're going to help somebody to be able to find a place to live. Then you can start to love, heal, whatever is needed. Home is where we begin. And then,
mm-hmm.
We help folks from there. So I think that I wish I could see everybody. I wish I could see everybody on Zoom, but then it wouldn't be radio. And I like to see everybody's face, how they're smiling, if they're nodding and agreeing or understanding and getting along. But I'm just really excited. I feel like this whole year, I can't believe we're already in November. How about you guys?
Oh,
Thanksgiving is coming up. And I've been trying to, not trying hard. I've been trying to focus on the things that I'm thankful for. And that list is really long. But one of the best things I can say is I am so hopeful for our future. I think we've been through some really dark, strange, testing, trying times. And I just feel like God has, of course, had us right in the palm of his hand the whole time. And that he has something really good and big for us. And I think he's given us a big God-sized desire to help others. And he's given us the Hope Collection to be able to do that. And I just see this wonderful growing and blossoming and focusing and systems and processes that perfectly help support people through every stage and phase of life. And in building their legacy. And I'm excited, Ron. I just can't wait to build one show after the other, build on it, get people that like and are living tiny, people that like Van Taylor and Taylor Made Village. We should be right there and interview the guys that are building the homes once we start building and get input from everybody. How exciting it is that there's smaller housing available, that that we can have training, we can have a Bible in our home, we can have a maintenance program, we can have everything that's needed so that people can just go and be instead of and do, instead of stuck working and stuck trying to produce and stuck wondering and worried and without hope. And we think that we are going to be able to provide hope and a clear path and help people to create residual generational prosperity. I'm so looking forward to it, and I feel like we're, like, right there, and the whole world is right there. Wow, something big, really big, is getting ready to happen right now. So,
well, Barb,
I'm looking forward to finding that with you.
Did I mention something to you? Regarding sustainable, the idea is when you think of other housing or other lodging, we'll just use the word lodging. For many people, the hope of having lodging is one thing. The hope of owning some lodging is a whole other story. And then the hope that when I own it, someday I'm going to be able to pass it on or sell it, be able to utilize it to leverage. Maybe you want a bigger, maybe you want a smaller, maybe you want a different one, you want to sell it and get a new one. The key is that by being sustainable, it's substantial. It is not just a wickety stick it. It's a real viable home that you can call, I move into my home. When we dedicate the Hope's Home, whether it's a onesie or a whole community, we're have a ceremony, and we're going to cut the ribbon for that family. It's going to be a ribbon cutting ceremony. We're going to provide each family with a Bible, congratulate them, and they'll have their friends and family all there to share with them. If you've ever seen the movie, It's a Wonderful Life, it's an American classic, and Bailey family owned Bailey Savings and Loan, and the depression was on and people were losing their houses, and the mean old corporation guys with I can't think of the guy's name now, but he's a famous actor, and he was the banker, the big bull, you know, smoked a cigar, and, you know, was fat and ran around in the largest and fanciest covered wagon, horse-drawn wagon in town. And you know what? People were hurt by him. They weren't helping. He was hurting them. And as a result, today, there are people that still feel the same way. That's what banking and that's what housing and that's what companies do to people. The truth of the matter is that it's just the opposite of that. People aren't even aware that every bank, when they take in a dollar, savings account or a business account, and they put the money in, every dollar they bring in, they lend out 8 to 12 times. Now, I ask everybody on the call today and anywhere else listening, how many people knew that about banks? I got a question for you. When you take in a dollar, whether you earn it from the government or you go learn it from a job, earn it from a job, how many times do you turn that money over in helping other people? And I would say that most people don't. They consume it. And in consuming it, they aren't creating. They're not growing. They're not giving. They're not bringing people up. But when you do that in your life, if you find a way to convert your energies into touching lives of other people, it grows. It compounds. The banks do it better than anybody because it's very visible. You can see it. But most people think the banks rip people off. Well, they charge if you bounce a check. Believe me, in my life, when I was very young, I knew nothing about banking, didn't know how to balance a checkbook. And I want you to know something. The bank made tons of money off of me. I mean thousands. I could have been arrested for the number of checks that I bounced. But fortunately, I had a lot of people around me that showed me grace and let me make up for it. And it cost me, I lost thousands. So today I can understand when people say to me, well, I don't know how you can have sustainable. How can you have something substantial? Hey, guys, my wife is calling me. She only calls me when there's emergency. I've got to jump
great.
Off, okay?
Okay.
I'll talk to you a little bit,
all right,
okay?
We'll be praying for you.
Thank you.
Yes, we'll pray for you. Oh, my goodness. So I am, well, we'll just pray for Ron. Everybody, if you could pray for Ron and his wife, Linda. And then I know that his mother-in-law had been in the hospital and had fallen. And so hopefully she's recovering. Everything is well. Well, Diana, we have 5 minutes left. What do you want to talk about?
I'm good. That was the only thing that, you know, I wanted a little bit fixed, breaking down on. And so, you know, that's good.
And then do you have property or somebody you know have property?
No, I don't.
Oh, neither.
But actually, I have a girlfriend that lives down in Evans, Georgia, and she says that there's plenty of land down there. So, you know, I don't know. I think, you know, you've spoken with her before, Kathy, and she, you know, she mentioned that, you know, that there's a lot of land, you know, close by where she lived, which is Evans, Georgia. And so, you know, I remember she saying that, you know, after she talked to you on the phone before.
Yeah. Well, neat. I'm trying to think of the best ways that we can help people. There's so many diverse, so many different ways that we can do this. But I know we don't lack for houses. I know we don't lack for people that want a house. I don't think we lack for land. We don't lack for money. But it's just getting the combination of all of those things together in the right spot for whoever's looking, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to us all developing a plan that seems like it feels like we're moving forward and obtaining results for people. We want to execute and then see the results of joy and happiness and hope fulfilled, you know. I love talking, but I love doing and love seeing it happen. And then, you know, somebody's got keys to their home and they've got a place and they're safe and they're happy. And it's that simple, I really think. Well, I'm going to say that we are here on the Blog Talk Radio for Hope Collection. And today was Prosperity Wednesday, Wealth Wednesday. And we are going to be talking micro, movable, modular, tiny, attainable, sustainable, and resilient housing that can bring hope to those folks that need a home, to those that have land that would love to share their land or would love to have that opportunity to invite people to rent space on the land that they have. If there's people out there with lots of land and they would like to develop a community and invite others, we can help you with that. And so we're here to help every phase and stage of any size home, any size land, any size everything. If you've tapped into us and you hear us, please continue to come back, ask some questions. And we're going to let you know that we have less than a minute to go. And so we're going to be signing off. This is the Hope Collection. If you found us somehow accidentally, we want to be able to invite you to come back and talk to us. And I want to give you the guest call-in number for next week. We get started at noon, and that number is 714-816-4686. And thank you, Diana, for being here. And I'm going to go ahead and sign us off and sign us out with music, I think. So have a great day. Tell that country boy to go ahead and give me a call if you see him or hear him. All right. Take care. Thank you.
Bye-bye.